This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Bling, bitches, and blood. If you're wondering if this is a fashion-conscious riot girl with a penchant for taking no prisoners, you might be right. We don't know this yet, but we're going to find out. But what I do know is that it is my next guest's super cool name for her blog. You've arrived at The Hound Healer, my podcast all about natural healing for pets. And I'm Jody Miller Young, your host. Amy Shojai. And Amy, am I pronouncing your name
very
correctly?
Very good. I answered a hey you too. So we're good.
We don't want to do that. So Amy Shojai is a certified animal behavior consultant, an award-winning journalist, blogger, and pet author with over 35 titles under her belt. The book that we're going to be focusing on today, because we're all about natural healing here, is called New Choices in Natural Healing for Dogs and Cats with 100 A to Z Conditions. Now, Amy did this in collaboration with Prevention Pets, and I'm very excited to hear about and share with you what she has uncovered and what she is reporting in this book to help all of us pet parents. But before I bring Amy on, we're going to take a short break from our sponsor. So grab that beverage, healthy beverage, hopefully. Get cozy, and we'll be right back.
How many of you have pets? My hand's raised. Now think about how lucky you are to have such a sweet little pet in your life, and that pet is lucky to have you too. But unfortunately, there are countless pets out there that don't have a home to call their own. However, Bob's from Skechers is trying to change that. So we developed Bob's for Dogs and Cats to help pets in need. With every purchase of adorable Bob's footwear or fun, stylish apparel, or even the cutest Bob's pet accessories, Skechers makes a donation to Petco Love to help save shelter pets. And with your help, we've already saved the lives of over 1 million pets and raised over $7 million. So while you're getting style and comfort with features like Skechers' famous memory foam cushioning, you're also helping to save an adorable pet in need and helping another lucky owner be connected with a future best friend and companion. Because happiness is having a loving pet by your side. Find Bob's at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, select Petco locations, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Hound Healer on Pet Life Radio, and I'm Jody Miller Young, your host. I'm really, really pleased to welcome today my guest, Amy Shojai. Hi, Amy.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm celebrating. I would be outside dancing in the raindrops. I think you're getting a little rain too, but we have not had any rain in so long. It's a celebratory time.
Where are you? Are you in Texas?
I'm in Texas. I'm about an hour north of Dallas. So Dallas is really getting flooded. Okay. We aren't getting flooded. We're just getting a really nice, normal rain, and hopefully it's going to stay for a day or two. My plants love it.
Yeah, I'm in Texas too, Amy. I'm in Austin. Oh, yeah. So I absolutely hear you when it comes to how badly we need this rain. The timing couldn't be more perfect. So anyone listening, if you hear dogs barking and some thunder that precedes it, you'll understand. You know, it's all about the
That's
pets
right.
here. But I want to dive in while we have a little bit of a reprieve from the thunder. I absolutely love the name of your blog, Bling, Bitches, and Blood, an alliteration. Tell listeners what you cover there.
I've added in the bling because, well, I'm all about the bling. I love sparkly jewelry and things. So that's the bling part of it. The bitches is a nod to writing about dogs and cats, because I'm an equal opportunity pet lover. So people will ask me, oh, what's your favorite? And it's very much an equal partnership. I have furry muses of both persuasions. And I hear barks in the background. The blood portion of that is I not only write nonfiction, prescriptive nonfiction, I write fiction And in fact, I write thrillers that have a lot of blood and mayhem and that kind of thing. So it was fun to put it all
together. We are going to talk more about that. Yeah, we're going to talk more about that because I am really curious and interested in your characters and what got you on that path. But we will get to that. We will get to that. So, okay, great. So when pet parents come to your blog, they can find all kinds of things there. But I know you do a lot about healthcare, natural healthcare, and some behavior things as well.
Right, right. You know, people come for the cat information or for the dog information, or a lot of, you know, pet parents have both. And I'm all about, I started out as a vet tech. And so part of my work starting out was translating what I called medical-lease into the language that us normal pet parents can understand. So that's a big part of what I do. And I try to give people some very prescriptive advice and information and where they can find good information. Because as you know, Jody, I mean, you can go on the internet, you can find lots and lots of stuff with Dr. Google that isn't always the best. So you want to find credentialed information. And I try very diligently to provide good information for my audience.
I find this all the time, Amy. People, their eyes can start rolling back in their heads because not only is there so much information online, but so much of it is conflicting. And, you know, if you don't know, then what do you choose? So people like you and myself and the others out there that are helping pet parents get on a healthy path with good, solid information is it's a blessing. And thank you for what you do.
Thank you. Right back. We can have a mutual admiration society going here.
Aww. Thank you. So let's talk about the book, New Choices in Natural Healing for Dogs and Cats. Give us a little bit of the key takeaways from the books that pet parents can find when they go
in. Okay, I think probably the key find is that everything old is new again. And there are sections in the book that talk about old-fashioned healing, that some things that seem to be very new to us, but perhaps are much older than you might expect. For instance, Chinese medicine has been around for centuries. You know, acupuncture mm-hmm. has been something that has been done literally for centuries and started out treating horses. And, you know, we can translate that to our animal friends or to our human friends. Now, the book does talk quite a bit about acupressure because I don't want to advocate pet parents sticking needles in their pets, with the exception yes. of maybe a diabetic pet, and that's a whole something else. But there's yeah. a lot of focus on nutrition. There's a lot of focus mm-hmm. on stress relief because, you know, our dogs and our cats, and you can hear in the background there, are little stressful entities, and a rainstorm or thunder boomers out there can really increase the stress levels, and that impacts their health. So it's all kind of interconnected. So you can find everything from Chinese medicine to herbal remedies. And I interviewed probably around 70 or 80 holistic veterinarians. So this is not me saying this. In fact, they had to do a lot of convincing of me for a lot of this information because I came from the world of Western medicine. And, you know, all that woo-woo stuff that, you know, it's got to be science-based, you know. Well, sometimes you can't prove it, but the proof is in the pet. And although there are cases where there may be somewhat of a placebo effect, in most cases, there's not. So if the pet is getting better by feeding a raw food diet, who am I to argue with that? Or if it is a placebo effect, I don't care if the pet gets better. So there are a lot of things like that, that you can go through, a lot of herbal remedies, a lot of different things. And it's an A to Z reference with bunches of veterinarians in each chapter quoted about their best choices. So it's not an all or nothing. You get to choose which one works for your particular animal.
Wonderful. I find that placebo effect is different with animals than with humans, because with humans, they know they're taking something, right? They understand that. And so, you know, the likelihood, depending on how suggestible they are, of a placebo effect, I think, is greater than in an animal. An animal, it's a more visceral thing. What have you found with that?
It's interesting because there are some dogs and cats that are little actors too. And it's not unusual. And I've heard stories, I don't have any specifically in the book, but I've heard stories of dogs that will limp in order to get the right attention or a treat or whatever. And then the limp goes away when they get the treat, or, you know, and it moves. And that can be, you know, there's a reason I tell clients sometimes there's a reason they call it the practice of medicine, because it is an art as much as a science. Yes. So we can't always understand what our animal friends are telling us. So it's being pet detectives. I got some of the talking buttons for my dog and cat to see if I can get them to understand. If they push this button that says outside, they get to go outside and maybe start communicating that way. And here, you know, try to figure out from them what it is that they want. They think very differently. They want different things out of life than we do. So it's, you know, us from Mars and them from Venus, and trying to find common ground.
Absolutely. Let me know how those buttons work out, because some pet parents have been able to do miraculous things with their dogs.
So far, not much. I mean, originally when I first presented them to my little dog Shadow, he pressed the buttons a couple of times and I thought, oh, this is going to be easy. And then I, you know, set him down and he hasn't touched him since. But he knows what they mean. If I press the buttons that say, you know, Shadow outside, you know, Shadow take a break, which is his cue to do potty, he runs to the door. He knows what those means, but he's not pressing them yet. Cats use these also. And it's interesting.
Oh, cats, that surprises me, because they're much harder to train.
Well, they some of them use paws. Some of them cheek rub the buttons. It's if you go on YouTube or go on TikTok, you can find. And these kitties, they put things together very interestingly. There was one I saw just yesterday, maybe, and the cat was saying, "Drink, gone away," and the pet parent would say, "Oh, well, the water bowl is empty." No, they finally figured it out. Drink. Go away. Rain had stopped.
Wow. That is
incredible. Isn't that something so
that
different?
Is
different thing.
Yes.
And they're using these all over the world. And so you can learn from other animals, how they are using the buttons and the communication skills that they're using, and kind of figure out. I'm looking forward to maybe, you know, otherwise the dog is, you know, pressing play, play, play.
Let's see if we can expand that, you know, library of, you know, commands or whatever. Absolutely. And I do think that learning how to be a pet detective, you know, a detective, a really, really good observer when it comes to your pet's behavior is so important. It's probably one of the key things that pet parents can do, because they know their babies better than anyone. And it allows them to see when something is amiss, or to kind of discern the sort of link between behavior and desire, right?
Well, something I talk about in the book is to listen to your intuition, listen to your inside voice, because sometimes, you know, how you wake up in the morning and you just, without anything else going on, you wake up in the morning, you know, something is wrong with Karma Cat or with Shadow Pup or with whoever. And it may not even be, well, they always wake me up at 4:30 and they didn't this morning, but it might be something that's, and listen to that inner voice and then go get them help. A friend of mine, a very well-known author, just sent out in her newsletter, her little cat that habitually throws up now and then, you know, hairballs, it happens. But she said they were on vacation and she knew something was different this time. And they went to the emergency vet. And this little kitty cat, very unusual for cats, had the intestines had twisted. Now that happens,
like low
it happens
dogs.
In dogs, very rarely in cats. Cat lost about 6 to 8 inches of his intestine, nearly died is surviving and is doing very well now. But if she had not listened to that and waited until Monday, this was all like, I guess, on a week, yeah. she would have lost her kitty cat. So you listen,
that's right.
listen to yourself and trust that inner yes. voice. I think when we love our animals, we have that little connection that you can't really mm-hmm. explain. Again, it's not science, but it's there. And I think if you've ever loved an animal, you recognize that.
Absolutely. I think that's wonderful advice, Amy. What have you found from your research and your experience, years of experience, to be the more popular natural healing modalities, methods that pet parents can do at home?
Well, one of them that is very popular are the Bach flower remedies. It's an energy medicine, and it's one of those woo-woo medicines that people say, well, you know, there's no science behind it or anything. But for some reason, with some animals, it works extraordinarily well, and with people. And so that's one that's very easy to do. You can get it online. You can get the remedies at the health food store. You can combine them. So that's something very easy to do. And it has the plus, if you get the wrong one and give it to the wrong pet, it's totally harmless. It's not going to, it will help, yes. but it won't hurt. So that's one that I yes. like to use. Vibrational medicine. I love harp music. Is something I recommend a lot. I was fortunate to attend a workshop by Susan Raymond many, many years ago, a harpist. And she had video playing of her music being played in pet stores and shelters and everything else, with the dogs barking, the parrots screaming and everything. And within like 2 minutes with the harp music, everybody settled down and went to sleep. And yeah. it's amazing. Yeah. It's very non-invasive. It's very easy to do. You don't want to play harp music while you're driving. You may drive off the road asleep, but it's a natural sedative. And it's also a natural pain reliever. They use this in human yeah. hospice. So there's a lot of things that you can do, a lot of herbal medicines that you can use that are actually formulated for pets. And that's the thing in the book, it has dosages that the veterinarians recommend, but you always have to be careful. I always recommend run it by your veterinarian, because if you give an extra vitamin, you know, vitamin supplements, or you give an herbal remedy and they're already taking a heart medicine, for instance, you can potentiate the medication and cause an overdose, because these are medicines.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Those are some of the kind of the top things. Acupressure. You can do acupressure, the same points that you would use for acupuncture without using needles. You use, you know, the point of your finger to press in. There's an aspirin point that is in that little hollow place on the back of the leg that you can press, and that will relieve pain. There is also this little slit in the upper lip for that dogs and cats have, the Filtrin. You can resuscitate yep. a dog or a cat whose heart has stopped by using a pin. And this is in the case where the dog or the cat is going to die. So, you know, all yeah. bets are off, but they have resuscitated stillborn puppies and kittens up to 20 minutes, 45 minutes past birth by doing that. You jam it in, and it releases natural adrenaline.
A pin into that slit in the middle yes. of their
yes,
upper lip.
Yes, it absolutely will.
That is really interesting. I never knew that.
That's in my pet first aid book, which is also with Rodale Press, but it is Western medicine. It's the fire engine medicine, but we put that in there too, because if you are out in the middle of nowhere
yes.
and you've done CPR and you've done rescue breathing and nothing is working, you can do that. It's worth a shot, and you may bring your pet back.
Absolutely. One reason why I love homeopathy so much is, I mean, herbal medicine is incredible. And with Bach flower remedies, yes, it's very gentle because it's very diluted, but it is still herbally based. You have live ingredients. With homeopathy, it's also energy mm-hmm. medicine. It's all energy. The music is frequency yep. energy yep. too. And it depends on what frequencies those notes are on that triggers something in us or in our pets. But I love that homeopathy, there's no trace of the actual original.
There better
substance.
Not be, because I mean, some of it's made
it's
from
only the
arsenic.
Energy.
I mean, so you don't want it. Yeah. And that's another one of those kind of woo-woo medicines that we don't know why it works, but for some reason the body recognizes this. And again, you need to find a homeopathic practitioner who really knows what they're doing, as they, yeah, it's that is something that I don't do a lot of recommending. There, it is in the book, and there's recommendations in the book. I don't know enough about it. So
it's complicated.
It's complicated.
I've been practicing it on and off for 30 years with my family and my pets and friends and whatnot, and teaching the basics of it to pet parents over the past couple of years. And it is like peeling away layers of an onion. It's a very complicated, but it's a very elegant science meets
Right. But you have to be very careful in handling the medicine too, because you can dose yourself.
Oh, you do.
Or you can dilute.
You can't touch it.
So there's all those different things, you know, how you're going to store the medication. So you don't want to have too much heat or too much cold and, you know, dark place and, you know, all of those things. So yeah, read the book. There's lots of information there.
Yes.
Listen to
you. Yes, but we're going
to
let people know where they can get it before we let you go. But Amy, you are a woman of many talents.
I get bored easily.
Well, listen to this. I mean, you know this already, but everybody listening, listen to this. So, okay, you're a well-known pet journalist and author, blogger. You're also a playwright, actor, musician. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Pets, thespian pursuits. How did you get into acting and writing plays?
I have a play that is a musical. It's called Strays, the musical. It's all the dogs and cats. So I think your little doggy is interested in that one. I started out.
Yes, she's voicing her approval.
Yeah. I call myself the accidental pet writer because I was going to go on Broadway. That was the deal. And then I met my husband and we got married. And instead of being able to go rehearse every night of the week and be gone, a new marriage, it doesn't sustain that very well. And so I needed an artistic outlet and started writing. And I'd always loved dogs and cats and was at that time I was working as a vet tech. And so it just kind of accidentally happened. And then over the years, whenever I had the chance or had the time, I would spend time community theater or teaching. I teach at the Texas Thespian Festival. You know, 4,000 kids come in and it's crazy busy, but so much fun. And so, you know, a lot of that stuff was happening. And then I decided I got to a certain age where all of the roles that I was interested in were beyond me, usually way younger than me. And so let's write something that's for my age group.
You go, girl.
Yes. So did that. And then I have a friend that we write plays together. And I said, he loves pets too, has pets. I said, let's combine things and let's do Strays the musical. And all of the characters will be cats and dogs that have lost their home for some reason, probably behavior issues or whatever. And they're looking for a forever home. And we can educate the audience in that way. And the actors have to be good enough that without a furry suit, they have to be able to portray, hey, I'm a bulldog and that's a chihuahua and this is a Persian cat. And it was a hit. People, we sold out, people loved it. It's been licensed in middle schools and other places. It's funny, it's poignant, it's uplifting, and very, very proud that I could expand the audience, actually, because these are people that don't go buy pet books or don't go buy my thrillers, but people buy and read my thrillers. And then the reviews, they say, oh, that's why my dog does that. You know, so it's all interrelated.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's wonderful. We are going to take a short break. We need to keep the lights on if the storm doesn't blow the lights out. So we're going to take a short break from our sponsor. But when we return, you are going to find out more about this thriller series. Yeah, you hear it in the background. Actually, perfect timing,
there you
Amy.
Go.
Ooh, thriller series that Amy has written, of course, centered around animals. In this case, a gorgeous service dog named Shadow and his animal behaviorist human, September. So don't go away, refresh that beverage, and we'll be right back.
How many of you have pets? My hand's raised. Now think about how lucky you are to have such a sweet little pet in your life, and that pet is lucky to have you too. But unfortunately, there are countless pets out there that don't have a home to call their own. However, Bob's from Skechers is trying to change that. So we developed Bob's for Dogs and Cats to help pets in need. With every purchase of adorable Bob's footwear or fun, stylish apparel, or even the cutest Bob's pet accessories, Skechers makes a donation to Petco Love to help save shelter pets. And with your help, we've already saved the lives of over 1 million pets and raised over $7 million. So while you're getting style and comfort with features like Skechers' famous memory foam cushioning, you're also helping to save an adorable pet in need and helping another lucky owner be connected with a future best friend and companion. Because happiness is having a loving pet by your side. Find Bob's at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, select Petco locations, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. If you've just joined, you're listening to The Hound Healer on Pet Life Radio. I'm Jody Miller-Young, and we're here today with award-winning pet blogger at Bling Bitches in Blood, author, and a whole lot more, Amy Shojai. Amy, you authored this pet-centric thriller book series with these characters that I mentioned, Shadow, this service dog, and animal behaviorist September, his human. Give us a little more info on what brought this about. And these books, they all have sort of these similar, in terms of format, titles, but they also have these really cool descriptions. Can I just read a really quick description of Hide and Seek?
Sure.
Just to kind of create the flavor. A young woman races a Texas blizzard to save her autistic nephew from a deadly secret others will kill to protect. And the service dog she's trained finds his true purpose when he disobeys. Animal behaviorist September Day has lost everything. Husband murdered, career in ruins, confidence shot, and returns home with her trained Maine Coon cat Macy to Texas to recover. She's forced out of hibernation when her nephew Stephen and his autism service dog Shadow disappear in a freak blizzard. Now, don't you want to know what happened to them? Amy's not going to tell you. You're going to have to read the book. But she's going to tell us more about this series. Amy, this is super cool.
Yeah, I had always wanted to write fiction. And there was a certain period in my career where my agent and I could no longer sell the nonfiction books. I mean, the internet came on and Dr. Google was king. And who's going to buy a pet book because you can get information for free on the internet? Oh, cute pulling hair. So I decided, you know, I'm not in the middle of a nonfiction book right now. I'm going to write the book I've always wanted to read. And for years, people told me that books that had dogs or cats in them, you know, too much, those were kids' books. Well, I guarantee you, my thrillers are not for kids. There's not strong language, but there are strong situations and there are murders. Okay. No pets are killed. In fact, I have to put that on in any advertising anymore. The dog lives because people have gotten burned by that. And I'm no different. I'm not going to read something where I become invested in the animal and then they kill the animal for, you know, whatever reason. I just won't do it. So I wrote the book I'd always wanted to read, and I wanted to have a situation with a very strong relationship between the human character and the dog that she partners with. And she trains this German Shepherd. Actually, it's a puppy. He's about 9 months old. He is in training. He's not fully trained yet to be a service dog for her autistic nephew. And when the little boy was off in his chapters, I didn't have a clue how to write an autistic child's viewpoint. So I put it in the dog's viewpoint. So those chapters are told from a 9-month-old German Shepherd's viewpoint. And he doesn't talk, but his perspective would be, why are they staring at me? They don't look away the way a polite dog should. you know, that kind of thing. Or the dog can hear both sides of a telephone conversation, which is golden for a thriller writer. So all of these different kind of fun quirks that just kind of evolved because I didn't know what I was doing and I didn't know any better. And my readers loved it. It was going to be a one-time book. It was going to be a single book. My readers said, but what happens next? You give all of these clues about she's lost everything. Her past is tragic past. Well, what is it? What is it? And so that's how the series came about. It started with Lost and Found, and it's set in a fictional town in North Texas. I live in North Texas. It's a fictional blizzard that happened. I actually experienced a freak blizzard in North Texas. That's what it's all based on. I have video in the trailer from my actual dog that, and some of the reviewers say, oh, I don't believe this because it never snows in Texas. Well, it does, but that's why it's called a freak blizzard. So Lost and Found is the first book, followed by Hide and Seek, which explains some of September's past and why she is so damaged and she has PTSD and ends up being partnered with Shadow. And then Show and Tell is the third one. And by the time I started writing Show and Tell, I thought, you know, I maybe need to rethink how I'm writing these because, you know, the first one was with a blizzard. The second one, she survived a fire. The third one, as I was writing it, it was in February and we had freak tornadoes. So she's dodging a tornado. And then as I was writing it, February, we started having freak tornadoes in.
Oh,
and
my God. Oh, I created freak tornadoes.
Oh, no, this is not good. So that was the first three. Then Fight or Flight was number four. And that introduces a new character who is a relative that September didn't know about. And she's training a Rottweiler puppy to become a police dog. So now you have an extra character with a dog. That's number four. Fight or Flight is number four. Then Hit and Run is the next one. And then Win or Lose was the most recent one. And what's a lot of fun with these is as I'm plotting them, I send out a call to my readers, my newsletter on Facebook, on the blog, and say, okay, I'm writing this book and I've got these situations. You tell me what dog or what cat should be the hero in this situation. You can nominate your dog or your cat. And I have a contest, name that dog, name that cat hero. And so the readers actually get to decide who they are, and then they get to vote for them, and they promote it all over the internet to say, you got to vote for my dog, and which was fun. The most recent one, I had lost a dog to osteosarcoma, and so he had a leg amputated. It had three legs before we lost him. The dog that won the Name That Dog contest ended up being a tripod dog. And it was kind of like, oh, my dog is talking to me from the great beyond. So that was kind of neat. So I'm plotting as we speak. I'm plotting number seven, and that will be called Dare or Die. So we're putting September through hell and high water, literally.
The mill. The mill. Do we get a little taste of what's to come?
Well, she's in Win or Lose. She was planning her wedding, and so it's wedding day. It's like days before leading up to and immediately after her wedding day. And of course, things do not go well. And they never do
in a thriller.
You know, and the past keeps coming after her. And I think she's finally going to figure out why she has been dogged for all the dogged, pun there, for all these years, all these problems. So, you know, just, that's what the readers are wanting. And I'm waiting to find out myself. So I have a pretty good idea, but she always surprises me too.
Really great. Well, I want people to know, I hate to have to wrap up. It's been so much fun talking with you, Amy, but I want people to know where they can find you, where they can purchase these books if they're interested, because you also have a number of other books on pet healthcare, on behavior, holistic care, and all sorts of things related to our beloved pets. So tell people where they can find you.
Sure. You can find me on my website it's just my last name, shajayi.com. The blog is amyshajayi.com. And if you type in my name or even Lost and Found dog thriller on Amazon, all of those will come up. And yes, I have kitten book, puppy book, aging dog, aging cat book, behavior book. So pretty much whatever you want, I probably got it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here, Amy. It's been wonderful. It's been lovely.
Thank you so much for dodging the thunderclaps with me.
Yeah, we actually got a bit of a reprieve.
Thank you. This was fun.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening. As a natural wellness coach, my mission is to share holistic options for pet parents seeking complementary approach to their conventional vet care. So tune in next time for information, expert interviews, and tips to give the animals we love the longest and most vibrant life we can. I'm Jody Miller-Young, and this is The Hound Healer.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.